Father is saying, whosoever will come drink of this water. He promised to pour his spirit out on his sons and his daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light so that I might see. And the light shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And if it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us, they say tear that old lighthouse down. You know the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. And there's no use for them standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. The light from that old lighthouse up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. King Jesus is that lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me so that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
Amen. We need that lighthouse.
Amen. Let's sing Everybody Will Be Happy.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Verse 4. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy. Sing God's praise, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Let's stand. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in, singing, oh, the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join our song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join our song. When the redeemed are gathering in.
Oh,
I will shout,
oh, I will shout
and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
What a day, what a time. Angels are going to be standing there and they're going to be doing nothing. And me and Ryan's going to be going, woo, all around them, and they're going to be going, because they won't know anything about redemption. They never fail. We fail. And now we've been redeemed back. God will not look you over for medals, degrees, or diplomas, but for scars. He don't care about your diplomas and your degrees. He knows what you went through. He knows the scars. He knows everything you've been through and what you're going through, what you're fixing to go through. But what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Good to see Lewis. Lois and Luke. Hey, why did y'all do that? Lois and Lucas, good to have you with us today. I'll have to call your brother. Your brother sent me a message the other day, said he was coming to visit. Well, you got here before he did, so kudos to you. So good to have them with us. We were at their wedding. How long has it been? A year ago? Oh, wow. Well, congratulations again. Y'all look like you're doing good. You're still together. Y'all came both together, right? Okay. All right. You didn't come in separate cars. Okay. Well, good. You haven't been married long enough yet. So anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have them with us. But remember, Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Next Sunday, we were going to have Brother Samuel Prakash, but he's not going to be able to come. And then July the 19th, 20th, 21st, please sign up if you even think you want to go to Brother Andre's, and so we can get motel rooms for everybody. So good to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelations. We'll continue them. We'll actually try to get into the Philadelphian church age this morning. We had to kind of back up a little bit with the two visitors that we had. So we are we was happy to see them. The cousins and the aunts and uncles, they all thought Daddy was crazy years ago, and I guess he figures we're crazy now too, but they usually don't come around much. But it was good to have Terry here with us this morning, and maybe he said I said one thing wrong. He said I could sing. Coming from a professional. He'd say, if you ever heard Group Georgia, he sings tenor. He sings high tenor. And when they introduce him at their shows, they introduce him as Terry Dale, the man that used to sing like a girl when he was little. So now he sings like a woman. And he does. He sings. He's got a real high tenor voice, and they do a good job singing. But we sure appreciate him coming and the other brother that was with us. So. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Lord, give us today our daily bread. We come to hear from you, Lord, not from an individual, but from you, Lord, that you'll give us, Lord, of your grace. The word of God, may it come forth and not return void, but accomplish what it said it would accomplish. Father, this word that we have is quickening power. It's something that the devil can't stand. He hates the word of God. And Father, I pray that we'll shout it from the housetop that the word of God is true. The word of God is pure, and the word of God is inside each and every one of us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that you be with us now in the furtherment of the service. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with the ones, Lord, on foreign fields. We ask you to give us a blessing today that we can't contain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're on our study in the seven church ages, and we've been in the Sardesian church age just for a little bit. Now we're into the Philadelphian church age, if we can get to it, because Brother Donnie and Fallbush and I were talking the other day, and it's you try to get through something, and then something else pops up. You try to get through that, and then something else pops up. And I want to get more about I Will Restore today, because the restoration started in Martin Luther's ministry. Now remember, it was Reformation, but it was also the beginning of Restoration, because it was the two shoots that come up out of the ground after the Dark Ages was over. So let's read Revelations 1 verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And there was a strange thing behind those candlesticks. There was a man standing there. But that man had on symbols that were feminish. Right? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, which was a man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps, which is up here, breast, feminish, with a golden girdle. So there was the Son of Man, there was Jesus Christ standing in bride form in these church ages that we're talking about. It's God in us. It's not God, we're not going to see the Lord Jesus until we meet him in the air, but we're going to see him through each individual person, the bride of Jesus Christ. So now let's read what the Philadelphian church age, Revelations 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, we're coming down the home stretch here. These things saith he that's holy, he that's true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no one can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved them. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Thank God for that. Which shall come upon all the world. All the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessings to the reading of the word. Now, we've kind of got the graph here. I want you to kind of hold that a picture in your mind, because we're going to look at God restoring the church back. And we're going to see this thing's going to be split up, because remember, God's perfected in what? Threes. All right. But now remember, the number of man is four and the number of restoration is four. God's perfect number is three. All right. But you've got four combat beasts. You've got four bugs. You've got four horse riders. So that's an earthly number, which is not bad, because it's a number of restoration. But we're going to start here, and we're going to look at the first three church ages. We're going to split it up and have the one in the middle, and then the last three church ages being the ones that is closest to us. But it will be the ones that will complete the birth back to the Word of God. Everybody with me? We're going to look at it in just a minute. I will restore. When he restored meant when to restore something means it had to fall. To restore it back, it had to fall. And Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it comes back up, in other words, it'll bring forth more fruit. Now look, they had the pure word of God in these three church ages. There wasn't any denomination. Sure, there were some ideas, and there were some things that were being formulated by Satan. We know that by the white horse rider that was in those three ages. But we also know that was a pure, unadulterated word of God. And there's a quote that Dad used a long time ago, and I can't find it because I can't get the right wording, but maybe Brother Joe or somebody can find it. It's where Brother Brown said that the word they had in these church ages, first three ages, they should have took a rapture. But what kept it out was me and you standing here today. But what kept it out was that the corn had to go back into the ground. Jesus said, unless the corn of wheat go and die in the ground. Well, you know he did that over here. He died. He went in the ground. Come up. All right. But he was going to be eat down again, because I will restore what was eat. Well, what was eat? The word of God was eat down here in this church age. And then we see that the next three ages completes the birth that we realize and know as justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me? All right. So we're going to split that up into three, one, and three, because God is perfected in threes, but there's a four there, because four is restoration. All right. Is everybody with me on that? I'm going to try to take a little time on this one. Now, remember, all these church ages, a church is a woman, We're not supposed to be dominant at all. We're supposed to be submissive to Christ. But once you assert yourself above God, that's where Satan sits. Everybody with me? All right? That's where the devil sits. So Satan wanted to be like God, and his only, listen, the only attribute God can portray is what he is. Because he can't change. If he's love, he's always been love. If he's perfection, he's always going to be perfection. But Satan has to change because he was perfect at one time, but he's not eternal. He's not an eternal God like God is. But he is a God, right? He wants to be like God. So he uses different tactics in different ways. So what he done was he took the lowly female and he put her up above everything and made her dominant, as we were talking about this morning under the Catholic Church, is they have Mariolatry or Mariology, which is Mary up here and Jesus down here. You pray to Mary, don't pray to Jesus, because Mary's a lot better than Jesus is. She's really kind and nice, and he's not. Okay, but anyway, well, that's what they live by. But it's a dominating female. Everything happens in the church. If some female, now I'm not talking about a female person, I'm talking about a church, dominates over God, God does away with them. That's why he had to divorce Israel. That's why he had to put Israel away, because they became a dominating force themselves. They went and got out from under the word of God, and they did what God told them not to do, and that was mixed with the world. All right? So they are a dominating force in these church ages, as we see in those white horse riders with that power coming forth. They were dominating the people, okay? And then you see in Revelation 17, the domination culminates into Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. So you got harlots and the mother and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. As I said this morning, John admired that so much, he was looking at it. He was getting caught up in, hey, listen, you ought to every once in a while go to the YouTube and put in Vatican. Put in St. Peter's Basilica. Look at some of those things that they do. It's captivating. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's always gold. It's always purple. It's always different things, and it's always in line, and it's always got the gold glittering, and it's a show. But that's what John was admiring. But remember, that thing he was admiring was the thing that was killing the people. All right? So what about today? What, you looking for something for you to admire? Because it's pretty. And we got a big church, and we got a big pretty this, and we got a big pretty that, and it's good to have that. But what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for that something that you admire? Or something God admires. God admires his bride. He loves her. And he is absolutely, he is captivated with his bride. Just as Lucas was with Lois. You couldn't get his, I mean, he couldn't talk to him. His like brain was jelly that day. I mean, he didn't know what he was doing. He may still not know what he's doing after a year. But praise the Lord, they're together. But we sure appreciate him coming today, sure enough. So now let's look at the opening of the first. Now we're going to look at the first three seals. And remember, the seals looses a ministry. Once the Lamb opened the seal, there was something went out, like a white horse rider, which was, there was four of them, but we're up to number three now. But there was a ministry loosed, and that ministry was so captivating, as we were looking at John, it was so admired that it was a white horse, and he had a bow, and he had a crown, and oh, it looked pretty. And most people thought, well, that's the church. And even Brother Branham preached, the Mighty Conqueror, he preached that was the Holy Ghost. Don't get quiet on me. 1959, Mighty Conqueror, read it. He read Revelation 6. There were several Mighty Conquerors. I don't know which one it was. But he showed that this was, his understanding at the time was, well, there's a white horse. And you know, this looks really nice and really pretty, and they're going forth conquering and all that. But we know that once the seal opened, that it was the devil. All right, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard his word, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts, which is the lion, that was the first three church ages. Get that in your mind. We're going to get a chart maybe somewhere and put it up. Should have done it before we started. But the first three ages was the boldness of the lion. They had the word of God. They had it without principle. There was nothing going on. There wasn't a Baptist church on every corner, a Methodist church on every corner, or there wasn't even a Roman Catholic church at the time. If you'll read in your history, go to your history right before Nicaea, there was not many churches besides true churches. Read it. If you've read it before, you'll know. They had the truth on every corner. They had the truth in the churches during the first three church ages. And then Rome comes in, and then she flips it around, and then they suppress this group of people, and they bring in their big churches and their big hierarchies, and that's what we're seeing today. So the one of the four beasts, which is the lion, said, "Come and see." And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the first three church ages, he bluffed his way into the true church. Satan does not want to be in the false church. He wants to be in the true church. But when he comes into the true church, Brother Michael, he makes it false because that's all he is. There's no truth in him at all. He's a liar. Even if he tries to tell a little bit of the truth, like he did to Eve, all but one word, it was a lie. All right? But then it became in these churches, they become to say, "Well, I don't know. Well, Mary is nicer than Jesus. She was a sweet lady, you know. And I don't see how Jesus was God Almighty, because he cried and he had to eat. And we saw him groan with a headache. And we saw this and saw that." So they said, "Well, he must be another substance of God." So then they take another person out. Then they say, "Well, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit, so there's got to be another one." So there's three personalities in the Godhead, which was a saying. Then it began to be preached. It became a deed. It became something that they wrote down and said, "This is what we believe." Then it became a doctrine, to where it came in the Nicene Council. It was a doctrine. That was it. It was a Trinity. There was water baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, eternal hell, purgatory. All those things were formulated. Now listen, I said formulated. Satan formulates. Remember, he's not an original. God had an original church. God's got an original word. God's got an original ministry. But Satan follows right behind so close to, the Bible says, almost deceive the very elect if possible. All right? That's why every church has to have a doctrine. We have to have a doctrine. Brother Bram said, a church is not a church without a doctrine. So you have to have a doctrine. Well, they have a doctrine too. Their doctrine is Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Their doctrine is hell's eternal. Their doctrine is all, we know all that. We've been in the message long enough, you heard it. So those first three ages, they were the white righteous church, but they began to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They didn't eat from the tree of life anymore. They started going with man's ideas. They started listening to other people. So we get to the fourth church age. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast, which is the ox, say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. His power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. He had a bow and no arrows, couldn't shoot anybody, couldn't kill anybody. But God allowed this power. Remember, Brother Dale preached many years ago a sermon called Permitted Power, and that's what Satan has. He has permitted power. Satan can create no power of himself except you. Amen. You give him the power. Amen. You and me. We give Satan the power, because he's powerless without having somebody to work through. Now, God don't have to have anybody to work through. He decided that he wanted to work through a bride because he loved her and he loves us and we're part of him. But Satan's not. But Satan wants to have his own group. So he tries to imitate. So he gets on a red horse and he rides that red horse through that middle church age, the fourth church age, killing people, killing 68 million Christians because they believe something different than what the Catholic Church believes. And he was given a great sword or a word, so he went forth and he was conquering, but now he's going to kill. Brother Bram said, they took the sword of dogma and Antichrist and cut down the real true worshipers all down through the ages by the millions. And when Christ comes with a sword, for it's his word that proceeds out of his mouth, he will slay every enemy there is before him. You believe it, kill the enemy. Revelation 6, verse 5. Now we'll get to the church age we just talked about, the Sardisian church age and the Philadelphian church age, is the man anointing or the man beast power, all right? Because remember, a man is what? A man is intelligent. A lion's bold, a lion's strong, but it's not as intelligent as a man is. An ox, not as intelligent as a man is. So we come to the intelligence age, and I read you a whole list of things. I don't even think I brought it. But there was a whole list from the 1500s to the 1800s, which covered these two church ages. My, you had all kind of things. I mean, you had buggies coming up. You had gunpowder. You had printing presses. You had all these different things that were formulated by man and put together. It was an age, and then Brother Branham will tell us about the next church age, Philadelphia, where that open door was a missionary age. They could travel faster. They could travel better. They could get in a boat. They didn't have a car at the time, but they could get in some really fast two-horse wagons instead of one-horse wagon. So as man advanced, we know Satan advanced because he's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast, the manpower, say, come and see. And I beheld a low, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I was thinking about this yesterday. Brother Branham doesn't cover this. But if he's symbolizing, now listen to me just a second. If he's symbolizing, if John sees this, now remember, in the first two church ages, it was symbolic and it was hidden. It was a mystery. It was a bow with no arrows. It was given a great sword. We didn't know what that was until the seal opened, and Brother Bram told us. That sword was a false doctrine. That bow was a bluff. Now we come to this person here, which is, he's now got a pair of balances in his hand. Now what is a pair of balances? You put something on here, which is a known weight, 1 pound weight, and then you keep putting stuff on here until they what? Balance out. To me, now, like I said, this is just me, the way I see it. If there's symbolics there, then we see that the third beast or the Sardesian church age, everything started to come back into balance. The truth started to come back into balance because it was so much false to Luther. We're going to see in a minute when Luther pulled out, man, they hated him. They tried to kill him. Why? He was trying to bring the balance back. He was trying to bring the balance back, but he couldn't bring it all the way back. Because he was a reformer, not a restorer. He wasn't a prophet. He was a minister. He was an anointed of God. Had the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like you do. But he was only anointed to give a certain piece of the word, which was the just shall live by faith. But as Satan saw a man sitting with balances in his hand, I believe God was balancing the word back out again. He was bringing it back to light to where we can understand what true justification is. That we don't have to do penance. That we don't have to do works. Amen. We just saved by grace. Amen. Justified freely. Amen. As we read the scriptures that we did this morning. Amen. And it was a black horse. And what's black horse? A black horse is death. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Now look, there was another voice came out. This was Jesus Christ himself. Another voice, a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Said, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. He knew they were going to charge for novenas. He knew that they were going to charge for all these indulgences. And praying people out of purgatory and all these different things. But he says, hey, don't hurt my oil and my wine. In other words, leave the Holy Ghost alone. The Holy Ghost is going to work in these church ages. Satan, you leave it alone because you can't touch it anyway. So listen, on the third seal, Brother Ram says, look, how many knows what the third beast looked like? Looked like a man. The first one was a lion, the other one a calf or an ox, and the third one looked like a man or as a man. Now remember, the first church age was a lion age. That was a lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ. His own influence of life taken that age. That's the first beast, which means power that answered by human voice. The next age was the ox age or the dark age, the dark rider's age. Now the reason this first age was a white age, I've always heard people say that the first rider, white, was the power of the church. See, he said the same thing. Went forth to conquer him. We find out he was given a crown, that was it. It was the church. It was the church. But where did he go to? He went to Rome. That church went to Rome. It came out of, that's where it started, was in Rome. It's where he did or received his crown. Now remember, the second age was a red horse. which was the dark age. And now the next age, the man age, which was the black horse rider, he was the age of the reformers, the voice who spoke. Now the black horse rider, that was the Antichrist. But the one that was speaking in that age was represented as a man. And that's the wisdom, smart, shrewdness. Because listen, Martin Luther had to be shrewd. John Wesley had to be shrewd because the Catholic Church was the dominant force in that age. And if they said the wrong thing, we know they did, but they used their smartness to get it, like Luther. He said what he said, and then he ran into that castle and hid for 2-3 years. He wasn't a coward. He just needed to get alone to write the Bible and put it together. All right? So now what Brother Brown say? Here, let's just put it all together. Antichrist, white horse, kills by spirit, being Antichrist, spiritual kill. Now, that happened in the first church age. It was a bluff, so he spiritually killed the people, not red. Watch. Number two, red horse kills by sword or word, but they kill by literal sword. Political power when church and state united. Black horse, souls when he give out his doctrine, and she did there with her fornications, and he weighed out the food by soul there. What did he give food for? Balance and penny and so forth. In other words, indulgences. And then we'll get into the fourth church age, the fourth seal, which will be the last church age. It's this church age we live in now. It's a pale horse. What did Jesus tell us? He said in Revelation 3:14, he said, I wished you were cold or hot. I wished you were black or white. Not color of people. I wished you were black or white. But what have we done? We've mixed it. He says, so I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's the pale horse. Pale horse was all three of those wound up together into one color. Eternal separation from God. Oh my, praise be to God. Now just for a minute, we'll look at the Sardesian church age. I know that works. Remember, it was works because it was the ox age. Now that's the name that you liveth and are dead. And I've not found your works perfect before God. Why? Because a lot of it still was Catholic dogma. But Luther wasn't responsible to bring everything all the way out. He was only responsible to preach the just shall live by faith and tell the people you have an option past the Catholic Church. You have a way to get out of that where you don't have to pay penance anymore. Believe the word of God. Like I said before, Luther took the Latin Vulgate, turned it into German, and from German, Tyndale turned it into English. So that give it our Bible here that we see today. As Luther crystallized the doctrine of justification by faith, they held to works, penance, prayers, and other unscriptural means. And as for the freed Christians glorified the Son, the Catholic Church increased their deification of Mary even until the 20th century, like now, where Pope Pius literally exalted Mary to glorification in a resurrected body. How many of y'all knew that before I told you that? I know some of you didn't. Yeah, they literally teach, that Mary was resurrected with Jesus. Now, I don't know how. And she sits on the throne, you know. She's been glorified, and she's been taken up in a resurrected body. That doctrine is absolutely the Babylonian one that, remember, we talked about Dios and Sabaoth in this Sardesian church age where that happened. The son carried the mother up to heaven. It's just false pagan. It come right from the pagan pages of the pagan Bible. So Martin Luther had to stand against that. He's regarded as one of the most influential figures in Western and Christian history. Why? He finally stood up to the Catholic Church. He finally stood up and said, that's enough. We're not paying any more indulgences. We're not doing that. We're going to live by the word of God. And God was happy with that. Even though he just preached the just shall live by faith. And he may have believed in the Trinity. He may have baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But that wasn't time. That was a reformer time. That was not a restoration time. Praise God, we've got the restoration time in our time. Yes. But it took a prophet to restore. The Bible tells us, and this is what I was telling you this morning when we ended. Martin Luther was sitting one day and he was penning the Bible from Latin to German. And he read Romans 1 and he got happy. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I believe that Brother Chris, that just illuminated in his head. Those words just popped up off the page. Ain't no telling how many times he read it, because he had to wrote it in the Old Testament, because it's in the Old Testament. Everybody with me? You know that? It's in the Old Testament. Because that's why Paul said, as it is written. He knew it was in the Old Testament, and he just brought it up to date. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. The Catholic Church, they held the truth. But they held it in unrighteousness. They added their part to it before they give it out to the people. Luther read in Galatians 3, this is Paul still writing, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, if anybody has another doctrine, I'm not going to be there. My soul, the soul of God, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I believe Martin Luther had a little bit of a Pentecostal experience at that time. He said, man, he said, this is the way it is, because that's when he wrote his thesis. That's when he wrote the 95 thesis, and he pulled away from the Catholic Church. And remember, he wrote that letter to the Pope. Pretty much he blistered the Pope. Told him he wasn't the one that we needed to pray to. He wasn't the one we needed to pay indulgences to. It's the just shall live by the faith of God. And they're redeemed by Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah. But he went against modern theology. But he was a reformer. He was a mighty preacher and teacher of the word. And insisted, especially in his first years of public eminence, that the word was the sole criterion. Thus, he was against works as a means of salvation and baptism as a means of regeneration. Because at that time, the Catholic Church developed the sprinkling of the kids and the babies. And do you know the Catholic Church? That's a doctrine. If your baby is not christened, it goes to hell. Josh went through one. Well, they had one. It's some of Leah's folks. Yeah, they put a lot in. They try to get it there before the baby dies. If the baby dies, the baby goes to hell. So they try to get it to the christening part. So I'm sure the christening part had a little bit under the table, maybe some greenbacks was from 50s or 100s in a roll somewhere. But that's what they say. You got to have that baby infant baptism. No such thing as that. Thank God for a prophet, Brother Brown said, all babies go to heaven. Good enough for me. All right, now when you come to the age of accountability, you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a baby, all babies go to heaven. Praise the Lord for a prophet. See, that's the difference in a prophet and a reformer. A prophet brings the word of God and lines it right up. A reformer can bring a little bit out, but there's still some down here that's not correct. Thank God he sent us a prophet. That's why he said he would send us the one in the end time to restore us back to what? That first church age where Paul was. Thus he was against the works as a means of salvation and baptism as a means of regeneration. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man, which the mediation of the Pope is, of Catholic is what? The Pope. You go to the Pope or you pray to Mary. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man, as was the original and Pentecostal concept. What stirred his heart by the Holy Ghost, which was the little green shoot that signified that truth was coming back. Not that it was 100% truth, but the seed had to go in the ground. We'll show it to you in just a minute. But it didn't come back as full grain. You don't plant corn and all of a sudden you get an ear of corn sticks up out of the ground. Sometimes I wish that. You take care of all the times of drought and all the other times of worms and everything else getting in it. But it came with two shoots. Then after the two shoots come a stalk. After the stalk come a tassel. After the tassel come the corn. And that's the age we're in now. But it had to start with two shoots. It signified that truth was coming back to the church. In other words, like I said, God was balancing it back up where it got so unbalanced in the dark ages. Now he's balancing it back up. But now remember, Satan's right there with him. Truth was coming back to the church as it was known at Pentecost, was the doctrine of justification, which is what? Salvation by grace apart from works. Justification, there's absolutely no way you can get it by working. You work after you get it, but not before. I recognize that Dr. Luther did not believe only and preach only justification, but that was his major theme, as indeed it had to be, for that is the basic doctrine of the truth of the word. Do you know that that is? If you never get justified, you won't get the Holy Ghost. What are you quiet for? You can't just jump right up to get the Holy Ghost. Sorry, you know the teaching of this church, and Brother Brown too. You got to go through three stages. You got to be justified. You got to ask God to chop off your past sins before he's going to try to come into your sorry self. Amen? Then he's got to clean you up, take an unclean spirit out, so that you can what? Get along with you and him. And then he fills you with the Holy Ghost. He just don't just jump right in and fill him with the Holy Ghost, fill you with the Holy Ghost. I wish that was true. No, I don't. Then it wouldn't be a journey. Now watch. He will be forever known as the instrument in the hand of God who revived this truth. See, they had it in the first church age. They knew they needed to be justified. That's why Paul said justified freely. That's why Paul said the just shall live by faith. Then you come up to James and he's talking about works and faith. We know how that works, right? It's not all works. You show your works by the faith you have. He was the fifth messenger, and his message was, the just shall live by faith. Surely we admit that he knew and did teach that we are to go from faith to faith. In other words, he did preach a progression. He didn't just say the just shall live by faith and forget about it. No, he preached a progression, but remember, his progression didn't take to full restoration. It only took partial to what? Reform the people. All right? See, that's what they do when you take them to Alcoholics Anonymous and all these different things. They try to reform them. The old devil's still there. Right? Remember the alcoholic? They go to the 12-step program. They do all the AA stuff. They said, look, you're always an alcoholic. You can never be around alcohol. You can never be around this. Why? They're reforming you into something. But I'm going to tell you something. You received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, and I promise you one thing. You have been restored back to where you never drunk the thing in the beginning. Isn't that what justification does? It takes you back to where you never did it in the first place. Praise God. Surely we admit that he knew and did teach that we're to go from faith to faith. His marvelous understanding of sovereignty, election, predestination, and other truths. Maybe you need to preach some people in the message. Show him to be a great man in the word. Yet I say again, as do historians, God used him to bring to the people God's standard against works, which is the just shall live by faith. Now, as I mentioned already, this age has been called by the historians the period of Reformation. That is exactly right. That is what it is. It had to be that, for Martin Luther was a reformer, not a prophet. So he was not able to lead the church back to the whole truth, as would a man like the Apostle Paul, who was both apostle and prophet. Now, what did Paul do? Paul restored the law, made it grace and faith by writing the New Testament. Hello? Then they lived by that for the first three church ages, all right? And so what Martin Luther did on this side of the Dark Ages, he did the same thing, but he didn't bring a whole truth because he wasn't a prophet. He couldn't catch the revelation that Paul could catch. He caught part of a revelation, and that part was the just shall live by faith. And the people came out. There had to be, that's why there is a Protestant movement. Are the Baptists are Protestants. The Methodists are Protestants. We're Protestants. Because we protest what happened back there. We're Protestants. All right? So he was not able to lead the church back to the whole truth, as would a man like the Apostle Paul, who was both apostle and prophet. Brother Bram says, the word does not call it a restoration, but certainly calls it reformation. Had it been a restoration, that age would have been another Pentecostal age. That's why your Alpha age was a what? A Pentecostal age? Began with a Pentecostal age? Amen? And your Omega church is going to have to start with a 1906 Azusa Street Pentecostal experience. All right? The word does not call it a restoration, but certainly calls it reformation. Had it been a restoration, that age would have been under another Pentecostal age, but it was not. The best that could be said was, strengthen that which remains that is ready to die. There was something missing. There certainly was. This age had justification, but it missed sanctification. All right? Now look, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean they didn't get the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that God said, no, they're just no. That's not what that Brother Branham's saying. Their justification was their Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost for the day and age they lived in. Martin Luther will come up, praise God, with the other bride. Every bride down through the ages, he'll come right up with them, and we'll go into glory. But he didn't have the fullness that God wants to work in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But he did in this end time. That is what God's original plan was. Watch. That is what they had at Pentecost. They were justified, they were sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, listen to me. The reason for being justified and sanctified is to the end you might be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen? That is the reason that there is a church. It's the temple of God filled with God, even the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that was in Jesus while he was here on earth, causing him to do the mighty works which he did, came back upon the church at Pentecost so that they could do the works that he did. This age did not have those works. Oh, they had the written word, but not the revealed word. This just was the Reformation period, but fear not, little flock. God said, I will restore. We'll talk about that in just a second. And this reform was going to be the start of it. He was going to, according to his promise, take the church back from the depths of Satan in the Dark Ages to the depths of God that they had at Pentecost and the first few years of the existence of the church. Now be careful and get this. It says in the second verse, it says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Do you know what the meaning of not perfect really is? It is unfulfilled. This age was an unfulfilled age. Why? They had the written word. They had it already. They had already got it put in print form. They had it in their hand, but they didn't know how to use it. They didn't know how to use it. Nobody was preaching at that time there was only one true and living God, that there was only one water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, right? So it was unfulfilled, but it was an age. So why don't you watch what Brother Branham said. It was just the start of getting back. That is why I said the Bible called it Reformation, not restoration. It had started out in the doctrine of sanctification, which meant salvation was all of God. Now, see, that pulled away from the Catholic Church for 900 years. They said, believe the Catholic Church, and you're saved. Amen? So God had to pull away from that, but not, he didn't pull away all the way. He pulled them out so far. Watch, I'll read this to you in just a second. It started in the doctrine of justification, which meant salvation was all of God. Oh, how Luther preached the sovereignty of God in election. He knew it was all of grace. He separated the church from rule by ecclesiastical hierarchy. He tore down the idols. He cast out the confession to the priest. He denounced the Pope. He was a very important guy. It was wonderfully good as he started, but God said 1,500 years before Luther, you are going to start things, but your age will see it all unfulfilled. I'm leaving that to what? Later. Hallelujah, our God reigneth. He knows the end from the beginning. Yes, Luther was his messenger. It didn't look like it as we examined the flaws, but there was a man called Jonah. He had flaws in his life too. But he was a prophet, though you and I might not want to say it on the basis of how he acted. Now, let's come on down a little further. Now, this was an unfulfilled age. Now, this is Brother Brown. It was an age of reformation, but that is how God wanted it. Now, remember, has anybody ever told y'all God don't make a mistake? Like 15 times this morning and twice today. God don't make a mistake. Sometimes we wonder, well, he never makes a mistake. He's never had a different thought. His thought's the same. That's why I can depend on what, and Luther could depend on that if God wrote it, Amen. If God said the just shall live by faith, he's not going to waver from that. Now, man may waver, but he's not going to waver from that. And the just shall live by faith. But that's how God wanted it. Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now remember, he tells us to come out. All right? In this age, we come fully out. But in all the other ages, only partway come out. Don't get quiet. I'm going to prove it right here. Brother Brown said in the Feast of the Trumpets, he said, the Holy Ghost has been bound by the denominations all these 2,000 years. We find out it has. Now notice the Sabbaths. Seven Sabbaths, they couldn't get all the way out. All right, so let's go back just a second and let's review the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? It's every 7 days there was a release, or every seven years there was a release, right? Then you had a golden one, which was the 50th Jubilee, and everything went free. But these sevens, every 7 years, only certain partial things, I hope you're getting this, only certain things went free. The just shall live by faith. That's what went free, not everything else. But when you come to the 50th Jubilee, all goes free. That's why seven Sabbaths, or Brother Brown explains in his Feast of the Trumpet, seven sevens is what? 49. You're still in time. You're still looped in the church ages. That's why you and I have got to be called out of this age. We've got to be in that Jubilee time where everything, this thing right here, goes free. You young people may not shout about that, but us people that are getting old, absolutely we're shouting about it. Right, Brother Collie? Amen. Amen. Brother Collie's in there holding his shoulder. Now, Lucas, you know, he's like, man, I can get out of the bed in 0.25 seconds. Alarm goes off, boom, I'm up. Alarm goes off, I hit snooze. Three or four times. And then there has to be a resurrection of my legs and my back and my arms. You know how he said, you look down, you go, feet, get up. Well, we're looking for that time where that don't have to happen. We're going to be changed back to a young man and woman. And we'll be that 20-year-old kid again. Isn't that great? I mean, why would we want to do all we're doing, come to the end of our life, and then live in an old body for an eternity? No. We have a promise that we're going to be young kids. Prime of our life. 20 years old. Those of you that's not 20 yet, you will be 20 then. Lucky people. So God promised a restoration. Let's talk about this just for a second, and then you can go back to sleep. I will restore. God promised it, and like I said before, Jesus stood and said, if a corn of wheat, we'll read it in just a minute, fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But it's got to go in the ground so it can bring up more fruit. If Jesus would have not went in the ground and died, there wouldn't be fruit sitting here today. There wouldn't be fruit in all the church ages. But he had to die to release that life, to release what was inside of him, so that the plant could grow. But he knew that in the middle church age, it was going to be eat again. According to Joel, I will restore the years that the pommel worm, canker worm, and all the different ones, caterpillar, has eaten. We'll read it in a second. I'm going to restore that. That's why that I love the book that Brother Brown preached, The Restoration of the Bride Tree. It really brings out a lot of things that the Bible tells us that we can put it together. And that's why he's a prophet. See, he was a prophet. He could put those things together so perfect. Why? Because he had the mind of God. It was actually God speaking to us in his fullness. So the first three ages, remember, God's perfect in three. The first three ages, the pure word of God went out. Is everybody with me? All right, shake yourself just for a second. You got the first three church ages, Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira. Pergamos. All right? Then you got the dark ages. The seed had to go in the ground in the dark ages. 68 million Christians were killed, but there had to be a little bit of light left. There had to be enough to carry over so that something went, that it was planted, it could come back up. But when it comes back up, you've got three more ages to complete the birth. Brother Brown's going to read it to it. We're going to read it in just a minute. With Sardis, which is the little shoot. Then you got Philadelphia, the stalk. In between here, in Laodicea, was the what? The shuck, which is Pentecost. And then you got the full grain, which is standing here today, or sitting here today in front of me. So the first three ages, the pure word was preached. Then the fourth church age went into the ground. John 12, verse 23, Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So listen, to get the glorification of the Son of Man, or the fullness of the Son of Man, he had to go in the ground. Then he had to go in the ground too in the middle of church age, so that the Son of Man could come back right now today in the end time in his fullness. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we see that today. So now we see 1, 2, 3, middle age, Columba, that age right, Thyatiran age, the word went in the ground. They eat it down so bad till there was not much any of it left. But then God said, I will restore. And he starts with two shoes, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. John Wesley, sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see it there. And then Brother Brown brings his message at the end of the Pentecostal age. Everybody with me on that? All right. Joel 2 says, behold, be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice. Now, who are we? We're the children. We're the daughters of Zion, right? And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. Now, what's the former rain? That's teaching. The former rain is a teaching rain. All right? If rain falls, what do? You plant. You hope and pray that it rains on it to pop that seed open. All right? Is everybody with me? Then you've got a latter rain right before the harvest. You need another rain to really boost it up, and then it's going to dry out and become grain again, just like it was what you put in the ground. Some of these people that have gardens, you know what I'm talking about. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, teaching rain, and the latter rain, which is the harvest rain, in the first month. There's not many things you can plant on June the 1st and on June the 30th, harvest it. Except for the bride of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Moffat's interpretation is, I will make up to you for the years that have been eaten. In other words, 1, 2, 3, those three ages had the full word of God. Satan got involved. Corn of wheat had to go back in the ground. But God promised, Brother Michael, that he's going to restore. But what he's going to do, he's going to make up to us for the years of those dark ages. Or the New American Bible says, I will repay you for the years which the locust eat, the grasshopper devour, cutter, my great army which I sent among you. Ezekiel 47:2. Then I brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. Now, what's waters? Waters is people. And the waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters. It was to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river. Now, that's four stages, right? Ankles, knees, loins, swim in. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God being restored back in the end time. There's your four stages. It was a river I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Thank God we got water we can swim in. We don't have ankle deep water anymore. We have water you can swim. You can if you want to. But we believe in a progressive revelation. We believe in God progresses. We believe that God is always moving. He's leading us out into deeper water if you want to go. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return back to the brink of the river. So now the first three ages, the pure word of God was given. There was no restoration because it was pure word of God coming right from Jesus Christ, right to Paul, Peter, and all the different ones. But then the fourth church age, there was a dying out. There was a corn of wheat went in the ground. But the fifth age and the sixth age were reformers. The fifth age was Sardesian. The sixth age is Philadelphia, which was Luther and Wesley. And then he's going to start restoring, though, but starting a reformation or reform the people. Watch what Brother Branham said. And I've not found your works perfect. You haven't come to perfection. Because we find out now that they had justification right here. Justification, I believe he's pointing to the chart. No, I beg your pardon. Justification is right here under Luther. He corrects himself. Watch. Sanctification is here, and here is the Holy Spirit. See now. That three elements that worked in those three church ages, that's what it takes to constitute the full birth. What does it take a full birth? Water, blood, and life. All right? Water breaks, blood comes, baby comes, then life. All right? They were only conceived as a little germ in the womb of the mother. That's right, the Holy Ghost coming to birth. The third seal, Brother Ram said, but then if the Pentecostal message was the last message, which justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, the last three messages, all right, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the full restoration of the word through the prophet, Brother Branham, is what's going to finish this thing and take us out of here. All right? The last three messages, the last three church ages forms the complete birth. Just like when a woman is going to have her baby, the actual first thing happens is water, next is blood, the next is life. When they killed Jesus, the substance came from his body to make up the new, in other words, the new church or the new birth. They stuck his side, and blood and water came out, and into thy hands I commit my spirit. What came from his body was water, blood, and spirit. John 5:7 tells you about that. So a Lutheran asked Brother Branham one time, said, do we have the Holy Ghost? Brother Branham says, potentially. Because he was looking at them because they were taught preaching justification was it. Well, now look, justification was it in Martin Luther's time. But justification wasn't it when you were sitting in front of a prophet. Everybody with me? That's a different situation. When it was over here, if you were to look at Martin Luther and talk to Martin Luther, that was the Holy Ghost. That was what God was pleased to dwell in the people that had a revelation of the just shall live by faith. But now when you're over here and you're a Lutheran and you're in a Lutheran denomination and you're looking at a prophet across the table and you say, Brother Branham, where are we? What do we have the Holy Ghost? He says, potentially. Because in the Lutheran mind is, they've got the Holy Ghost. It was here. But God's moved on over here now to where justification just gets you started because that's what he's going to explain. Now, this brother's seminary is out in the country and surrounded by many acres of farmland. You wonder why that happened? Just so Brother Ram could explain this right here. And the guy could understand it. Many acres of farmland on which the students can work and thereby pay their way through college, not get it given to them by the government. Hello. He also has factories that go along with the farm to give added employment. So using his fields to illustrate my case, I said, once there was a man who went forth on his own ground to plant a field of corn. He pulled up the stumps, cleared the rocks, plowed and disked it up, then planted his corn. Each morning, he looked out across the field, but one morning, instead of barren ground, he saw myriads of little blades coming up. He said, praise God for my field of corn. I then asked him, did the man have corn? And the man said, well, in one way he did. I said, potentially, yes. That was you Lutherans in the Reformation. Putting forth your blade, see, the corn began to grow. After it had rotted in the ground during the Dark Ages, and he continued on to tell him, though he had to update his revelation, to where justification was just getting you started in this church age. All right? So justification is what we were talking about the other day. If we look at justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost as the outer court, inner court, and holy of holies, Luther's justification put them in the body. But the justification that you and I are under today, it only clears out your past sin. It only gets rid of what you did before. All right, and you're still in the outer court. Now, Brother Ram talks about the outer court. Now, that's a sign or type of the people, the regenerated man who comes to Christ, gives his life, but never become hid away into the Holy Spirit. He lives a life that he knows he's eating manna. There's many people today that's never went any further than the outer court. And I'm going to say today, there's many people in this message that you get taught that false teaching that all you got to do is sit in a message church and believe God sent a prophet and that seed inside of you is just going to come alive that was put there before the foundation of the world. There's truth to that. But I told a preacher the other day, I said, look, I'm just going to preach good old salvation in my church. It's my church now. I'm going to preach justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Seed comes to life. I said, you can tell your people that they always was eternal and the seed was always there and they can just do. I said, but the Bible and Brother Branham tells in the future home. He gets right to the end of his ministry and he says, thank God for these three works or steps of grace. He said, I preached it when I was a boy. This was after the seals. Cause a lot of people say, well, after the seals, he said, just believe, you know, seed's going to just pop to life. I believe it does pop to life. I believe you do have predestination. You do have representation. God can't change his mind. If he ever loved you, if you ever were part of him there, you're part of him now. But you got to go through a process to where you can see it, to where you can believe it. In the mind of God, you never were lost. That's why when we come to true justification over here under the seals, the real you never did it. And you got to start realizing that. That the real you didn't do it. Now, the other part of you is going to help you remember that you did it. What? The carnal mind part. But you got to overcome that. But if you stay in the outer court, look, there's many people today that's never went any further than the outer court, the veil. Yet they are Christians. Now, watch Brother Branham. By the millions, they enjoy Christ in an outward form. They go to church with the consolation of knowing they belong to church. But they have never become hid away with him in the inner courts. God sent a prophet. Go to church. Don't cut your hair. Read your Bible. Listen to the prophet's message. They don't say, none of that I just said saved any one of you. Not one thing I said saved you. So don't worry about that teaching. It's not false. It's just not exactly all true. Yes, in the mind of God, you always were seed. Or he changed his mind. But when we come through the veil of Adam and Eve, where we were supposed to be born by spoken word. Everybody with me? We were supposed to be born by spoken word, just like you were at your new birth. You were supposed to be born spoken word children. No sex involved. But once you come through that veil, that sex veil, Brother Brown said, our eyes have been opened and we have to have intercourse to have kids. You come back to where it says it's the fall. That's why they call it a fall. Because you fell. And you have to be restored. Yes, I can go over here and I can look back. Being in the message now 30-something years, I can look back and see that I always was eternal. I can see I always was in the mind of God. My Lord, Genesis 1:26, my favorite scripture, that puts me in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. But I had a time down here, I was lost. You were lost. You were dead and on your way to hell. If you don't have a new birth experience, Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, Nicodemus, just believe me. Nicodemus, you always was. Just believe it. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Something has to come from somewhere to get inside of you. Don't let nobody fool you. And another thing, we'll call your attention just before we close. Same here. Look at the light. On the outside of the court, it was the firmament that lit it up. In other words, the outer court was wide open. If you look going out the door, turn to the left and look up, you'll see the outer court. It was actually called the court of the Gentiles because they could walk in that court. Couldn't go any further, but it was just a common area. And when it rained, you got wet. When it was blistering hot like it is now, you got sunburned. So look, some days was cloudy. Some days the sun didn't shine at all. Some days it was dark. Now that's in the outer court. That's the same way with me and you. You start your journey. Some days you have good days. Some days you have rainy days. Some days you have a complete tornado. Some days you have an earthquake. It's just the outer court. That's where you live. And you're up and down, out and in and out, up and down. You can walk in and out. But if you go into that next part, you're getting closer. You go into that next part, it's covered. And it's got an artificial light, a candlestick. And it does have manna. You can start eating that manna because it is, sanctification. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Ghost. It gets you closer to God. But inside that Holy of Holies, only one person can go, and that's you and God. And when you go behind that, there is manna that never will cease. There's manna that's been in there since the foundation of the world. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Yes. It's been in that, and you got to go get it. Yes. The priest didn't come out and say, oh, I don't need to eat that. I already got it in me. No, he needed to eat it. Same way with me and you. You need to eat the Word of God. But during in justification, that's the part you and I have got to realize. We're going to have bad days and good days. Amen. But get into the next court. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast. Now we're getting into the man age again. Behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou not hurt the oil of the wine. The Holy Ghost is coming back in power. It's coming back to the fullness of the word. It's not there yet, but it's coming to it. Listen, praise God for not just dumping all this on top of us. Praise God for him giving us progressive revelation, or a time to be justified, a time to be sanctified, and a time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because, see, that's my journey. I know my journey when God justified me. He chopped off all my past sins. Then he sanctified me. He started cleaning me up. I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Started coming to church. I felt so empty inside. Well, that's good. But you better get it filled with something. Because Satan will come back and fill it up. According to the book of Luke, it says the unclean spirit goes out, walks in dry places, seeks rest, findeth none, comes back and sees the house swept and garnished. You're in church. And then he's going to bring 7 demons worse than he is, and he's going to say, send that message church right there, and you just believe that you always was, and you had this eternal seed inside of you. And come on, people. That's a lie. Right. That is a lie. You did not have eternal life in your soul when you were born. I didn't. Maybe I'm different, but I didn't. The things I did, God said, I will not dwell in an unclean vessel. The old Indian said, after me born again, in me are 2 dogs. After. Because remember, before, you were just black dog. Then when the Holy Ghost comes in, he slides that black guy out into the what? Into the spirit realm. And they start battling each other. I didn't have a battle when I was a sinner. Pray for me. Well, don't pray for me now because I ain't a sinner no more. But at that time, I was a sinner. I didn't have no battles. I could hold a beer and it wouldn't bother me. I could say bad words, it didn't bother me. But when I come under conviction, yes, something came to life, but it was the word of God that I heard. It's the word of God you heard. There's your seed. The seed is the word of God. God does not have sperm. Sorry, so plain, but God's not like a man like that. He doesn't need that. His seed is the word of God. And as it goes forward, spiritual multiplication happens. Look. Amen. Amen. So we start with that church age that brought us out of the dark ages, come up out of the ground, 2 little shoots coming up. That was justification. That was a work of the Holy Ghost. And now we'll look at the Philadelphian church age just for a second, and then we'll start next week, because we'll have next week to minister to. Just pray for us. We have a tough week coming up. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. What? A little bit of doctrine, this truth. Luther had a little bit. He had 2 shoots, strength. I mean, look, the life of that seed's inside there. Don't look like it at the time. But whatever was down in here, that life, the first thing that popped up is 2 shoots. Then you got a stalk. Then it looks a little bit closer in the tassel. And then you got to take the tassel or the shuck and pull it away, and there's your true grain. But the life is still in every bit of that. But remember, the life of those 2 shoots leaves and goes into the stalk. Goes from the stalk and goes into the tassel. Out of the tassel, into the full corn. All right? Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Praise God for that. Which shall come upon all the earth. We're tempted by something every single day. You wake up in the morning and you, those of you that check your Facebook pages, and an ad pops up. Yeah. Keep me from the hour of temptation. Gossip and all that other stuff. Which shall come upon all the, well, you don't have to say amen. I'll say it anyway. Which shall come, amen. Which shall come upon all the earth. Look, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Oh my, hold the church up. He's going to hold a church up with you. That's what a pillar does, not a pillow, which some of you need now. A pillow, but a pillar. Something that holds the church up. That's what's right in front of y'all right there, those poles. Those are pillars. That Brother Gary Kranz hates those, but that's okay. We'll use them for a little while. And I will write, and I don't like them either. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. This is getting pretty close to the Lord, you know. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, was name, 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 name. The name is fixing to be restored back to the church. Now, it wasn't fully in Luther. It wasn't fully in Wesley. But when you come to Pentecost and then the restoration under Brother Branham, the name comes back. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'll write upon him my new name. Brother Branham said we'd get that name. So let God give you that name. I'm not going to. I just want to be called Christian. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Watch what Brother Branham says. The first phrase of this verse, I know thy works, is analyzed in the rest of the verse. For their works had to do with the open door, little strength, the word and the name. In order to understand the wealth of meaning involved in behold, I set before you an open door, no man can shut it. We must now recall what has been said about each age running over into another. Now, he's talking about lap over. We talked about it before. But each age runs over into the next church age. God doesn't shut it off abruptly. He runs it over into the other age. All right, so watch this. There is an overlapping. So what happened is Wesley is going to take what Luther had. Come on. Wesley's going to take what Luther had by the Holy Ghost. He's going to use it because he believed in justification. He believed Martin Luther's writings because he said he did in his writings. But he knew there was something further that the Pentecostals can pull out sanctification because the ages lap over. There's an overlapping, a melting or fading into rather than an abrupt end and a clear-cut start. This age particularly flows into the next age. And not only does this age overflow into the last age, that's where we're at, but the last age is in many respects simply a carrying on of the sixth age. The seventh age, a very short age, gathers up into itself for one quick work all the evil of every age and yet all the reality of Pentecost. Once the Philadelphian age has about run its course, the Laodicean age quickly comes in, bringing both the tares and the wheat to harvest. First bind the tares to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:30. Remember, please, that the Sardesian church age started the Reformation that must still go on until the grain that was planted at Pentecost goes through the full cycle of planting, watering, nourishing, etc., until it comes right back to the original seed. While this is going on, the tares that were sown will have to go through their cycle and be harvested too. So in other words, Satan is right there again, same one, pale horse rider, he's right there riding, and the tares are the unbelief of the church. Now watch this, and we'll close right here. I want you to see something here. God works in threes, doesn't he? It was in the third or Pergamian age that the church was married to the state. Remember, we went through that during the age of the third church age, Pergamian church age. The church was married to the state, remember, Constantine married church and state together. The deeds of the Nicolaitans had become the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That age was the open door Look, for the false vine. Now, God's fixing to open the door for the true vine now in this age we're going to talk about, Philadelphia. But Satan opened it up way back here in that third church age. That age was the open door for the false vine. Once it was backed up by the power of the state, it became actually a world system, even though it bore the name Christian. Thus, it spread like wildfire. But now, three ages later, after a long and hard struggle of faith, here comes the open door to the truth. The word of the Lord now has its day. Of course, the fifth age had set the stage for this mighty move, as that age gave us exploration, colonization, the printing of books. And the man's name was John Wesley, that was a messenger to the age. Let's stand to our feet. We're getting into better and better, gooder and gooder. This is something that I know sometimes it feels like you're preaching to the choir because you already know this. But then you got somebody like the other day, Brother Andre Head came by and he said, man, he said, keep, and Jim was saying, well, you need to get out of the Sardesian church age sometime between now and the rapture. And he said, oh, brother, you're bringing out all kinds of stuff. Stay in there. Stay in there. Stay in there. So it's just how you look at it. Nothing to, June's fine. But see, there's, and I know there's a lot of you that are sitting here, they're going, let's get on to this. Let's get on to that. There's some that hadn't got along to that yet. So you got to come back and get them. I told you, God told me 2 years ago, he said, I'm not going to leave one person behind. So if I have to go back, and if God has to go back and get the little ones, praise God. Praise God. He's going to bring us all up. Listen, just hang on. You know what God might be doing? Trying your patience. See if you'll hang on for a little while till we get the kids. And I don't mean kids by age. I mean kids by understanding. Get them brought up, and then we'll all leave no one behind. God's not going to leave me behind. God don't make a mistake. Anybody ever? I'm going to preach on that one day. Let's sing a song. God bless you. I love these church ages because you know what? I see the characterization of what I need to be. As they were coming up, they were progressing. They were getting more and more. Then they had to fall on the ground. You and I had to come to realization we were dead. And then there was something came to life inside of us, and we started growing as little babies, two little shoots. Then we came to the stalk. Then we came to the tassel. And then now we've come to the full grain. You and I are at that fourth stage of the Word of God being brought to life again inside of me and you. Let's sing a song. Every church age looked for this time right here. Every one of them. I know there was a call in every one of them's life. I want more. I want more. There's more. But God wasn't ready to give them more. But he's ready to give more now. This day, these scriptures are going to be fulfilled. All my heart's desire and I long to worship thee. Sing it to him. For you alone are my strength. Look to the shoot. Got the strength from the nutrition and the life of that seed that went into the ground. Doesn't look like it yet, but that was what was inside of it. Desire and I long to worship thee.
silver. Would you say if somebody wanted to give you $1 billion worth of gold or eternal life, which one would you take? Right?
You
take all the silver and all the gold. Sometime it's going to perish.
Joy giver and the
but we've got life. We've got the real jewel, the real diamond.
Spirit you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Do you long for that time to worship? We worship him in listening to the word of God. But there's a time when you're just sitting by yourself and somebody comes on you hard, or a thought comes in your mind that maybe some of you heard somebody preach. Do you meditate on that? Or do you go on to something else? Sometimes, you know, we need to listen to God. He's listened to us for a long time. We pray to him and all. Just listen. Be quiet. Listen to see what he has to say to you. Try that sometime. Just sit in quiet. Be still. And know that I am God. Just stop for a minute. All this life hustle and bustle, just stop for a minute and just listen. Just close your eyes and just listen. Listen to all the things around you. All the music that we sing, all the songs, the preaching that we've heard all these years. It's going to culminate one day, but it's going to culminate in something that's inside of you. Good or bad. One of the two. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a struggle. Remember, this is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. And our captain is not a cruise director. Our captain is a battle-hard veteran. Amen? So that's what we're doing. We're fighting a battle. And we're on the right battleship. We got the right captain. Actually, the victory's already won, because he can go into the future and win the battle for us and then come back and lead us through it. What a mighty God we serve. And I long to worship thee, for you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. For you alone are my heart's desire. Brother Luis, he'll be ministering for us Wednesday, and all these brothers coming back. Brother Aaron's coming back. He won't be back Wednesday from Ohio, but he's going to take a little vacation with the family. And Brother Bob and him will be back from Brother Martin's here pretty quick. And Brother Luis will be back from Connecticut. So they should all, some of them, be back for Wednesday night service. But remember Brother Luis speaking for us. And then remember, service is coming up next weekend, just regular service as we have always before. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. For the word that we have, that the people in these ages molded the birth that we come under now, that we call the new birth. It started with justification under Luther, that the just shall live by faith. We have to have faith that you've forgiven us of our past sins. And we have to have the sanctifying power of the blood that cleanses us and sets us aside for service. And then fill us with the Holy Ghost, Father. That's my desire, that every person in this church will be filled with the Holy Ghost, that has the new birth and has that zeal and strength inside of their self to meet the challenge of the day, to be able to come into church and be victorious and not be beat down, to have victory in their life. Father, because you are all victory. You have never, ever been defeated. You always win. So, Father, you're on my battlefield today, Father. Be on the battlefield of the ones for this at the end of the service. We're going home, Lord. Just be on the battlefield for them, Lord, and lead us to victory. Father, we thank you for all things. Bless the ones that are sick. Just, Lord, just bind up the broken hearts. Give us strength and give us a good attitude. Give us a good way of doing things this week. Lord, may we shine our light to the world that's dying and needs you, Father. I pray that you touch each one, Lord, and let us surely be a light in this dark, dark world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. After thee, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.